Thank you, Luke and Sally. We're going to go ahead and recite our memory verse for the month, and it comes from the book of Mark. And we read the scripture, scripture reference, and we read the verse, and then the scripture reference again, so that we can kind of get that into our hearts and our minds. So here we go. Mark 2:17. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Mark 2:17. Would you bow in a word of prayer with me? Lord Jesus, what a beautiful song. Give me Jesus. That's what we ask today, Heavenly Father, that you'll fill our hearts and our minds with your Spirit. Give us all of you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, you see all the water down below. Who's been dehydrated before? Now, I mean seriously dehydrated. You've actually felt it, suffered the pain of it. It's probably one of the weirdest, bad feelings I think that you can have. Years ago, I ran a half marathon in Lake Minnetonka, Minnesota. What would have been a beautiful run. And certainly I trained with the gang. We always ran together and stuff like that, so I thought I was prepared to go. And unfortunately, I didn't drink enough water beforehand, and I didn't drink enough during the race. And about mile six, I was ready to die. And I knew that I was becoming dehydrated. And when that happens, you actually physically hear your heart. It's just like, when you step on the ground, you can hear your feet clomping. Even though they might not be clomping, you just hear different things, and you start feeling weird. And back then, I was too stupid to stop. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to do what I can to crawl across the finish line. And the problem was, once I recognized what was going on, there wasn't enough water along the way to stop or to rehydrate, unless, because they had water stops, unless I just totally quit and I stopped. But I refused to do that and kept running. I finished. And because I was so dehydrated, I won't get into the grossness of it, but my chest was bleeding. And you could still hear my heart. I had a real weird temperature, all sorts of things going on. Once I stopped, though, I got the fluids in me and all sorts of stuff getting back to life, and it felt so good after about 20, 25 minutes being alive again. Now, since that time, you know me. I carry a water bottle almost everywhere I go. I keep one in the car, three or four, who knows. I've got them all over the place. But I want to give you some quick facts about some water. 60%, you know this, 60% of the human body is water. There's roughly 3.2 quarts of blood plasma in the average human being. Of that, 92% of that is water. The rest, 8, is the plasma and trace minerals. Our bodies constantly lose water. We know that when we go to the bathroom, when we exert ourselves, when it's hot outside, and even when we exhale. When you exhale, you actually lose water. In extreme conditions, an adult can lose 1.5 liters of water per hour, and if it's not replaced, it can become fatal. I mean, you can die from that. We know that somebody can live 21 days without food, and then you're dead. Now, people have lived longer. Jesus is an example of that, but usually it's around 21 days. Water is 1 week, the average. So if you're without water for 1 week, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell, depending on if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. 71% of the earth's surface is covered with water. 2.5% of that is drinkable. So you have countries like India, where they are 54% considered extremely high stress as far as water is concerned. So you have a lot of dryness, you have a lot of drought, you have a lot of folks and plants, animals, everything that needs to be rehydrated. When I first started here at Lebanon First Baptist Church, I did a series on mental, physical, spiritual. Does anybody remember that? It's kind of my, okay, so that was effective. But that was 8, 9 years ago. Some don't, but I saw one person raise their hand. But anyway, so that was kind of my theory, kind of my philosophy of life, I guess. Mental, spiritual, physical, they kind of all go together. If one of them's out of whack, the other one starts suffering, and so on and so forth, depending on your own personal situation, especially physically and then mentally. So some of you actually sign contracts, and I pull those out. and said, I'm going to start exercising, I'm going to start reading the Bible, and mentally I'm going to read a couple different books and so on and so forth. And I take those out at least once a year, look through those names and pray for those folks, just so you know if you signed one of those. But anyway, physically in the United States, if we're talking physical, there's no reason for anybody to go become dehydrated unless, you know, you have some certain circumstances. But generally, we have enough water, and it's good water. So we should all have enough water physically to keep ourselves hydrated. Mentally and spiritually is the problem for us here in the United States. I think it's one of the biggest problems that we have. And as much as I love technology and all the things that it can bring to us and all of it, all that it provides, if you look at the statistics, now I'm talking in general now, so don't anybody get upset here, but statistics will tell us it really hasn't helped us in developing our brains all that much. Have you noticed when somebody needs to give you change, they don't know how to do it? You notice that at all? Have you ever checked out the math scores worldwide recently and where we fare as compared to other countries and where we are going as compared to other countries? Now, we can all press a button, right? 1 + 1, and then we hit the equals, right? Equals 2. Well, that's an easy one. But what if you get a difficult one? You need to make change for $9, it's $10. You give them $10, and it's $9.45. What do you do? It's a blank stare, right? But if you press a button, you got the answer right away, right? So a cursive writing, of course, is another one. That's hieroglyphics today. No one knows how to read it. Some people think it's what you do when you swear. It's called a cursive. Mentally, though, instead of watering things, sometimes we like to put Band-Aids on it, or we like to make things a lot easier. We think life is going to get a little bit better. And that's all stuff that we really need to deal with, right? The mental and the physical part, we need to work on that and those types of things. But I think the biggest piece is our spiritual state of mind. I call it the Jesus piece of life. That's what we really, as Christians, really need to be working on. The Wall Street Journal had an interesting article titled "The Deaths of Despair." That's kind of hard to say altogether. Deaths of despair take toll across the U.S. And so it argues that substance abuse, suicide, diabetes, it drove a rise in premature deaths in nearly half of the U.S. And so years of life lost soared for Americans in these areas, while life lost to cancer and heart disease sort of stayed the same. It didn't really move up or down. That kind of stayed the same. And many people would argue, well, Dave, those are all physical things. You're doing something to yourself physically. You know, suicide's physical and this and that. I would argue that those types of things stem from a spiritual dehydration. That folks believe they have no hope, maybe there's no purpose in their life, they don't know what's going on, nothing to live for, they feel the world in which they live has sucked all the water out of them, and so they're depleted. And so, why not? I loved what Tim talked about, because, and I think there's a book that has all those statistics on those things Tim was talking about with how God has slowly been taken out. And here in Lebanon, I have a copy of it. Here in Lebanon, I have a copy of one of the teacher's books from the 1800s that somebody gave me that preaches God, A equals Adam, so on and so forth. Well, the real deal, I think, is in the United States as a whole, we're in a real drought. And we need some good watering. The church itself seems to be in a drought if you kind of look across the United States. And one of the things that we are doing here at Lebanon First Baptist Church to combat that is having our leadership meet. Tim talked about that with the American Baptist Specialist, Jay Kennedy. He's a great guy, wonderful guy. And we're trying to figure out, okay, how can we really utilize the Word of God to churn along, to set those goals, to move forward into the future. And so we claim to be word-driven, and our mission is to know God and make Him known, and we're figuring out ways in which we can do that and make that happen within the church. But sometimes, right, like anything else, we can dry up and lose our focus. We can become a little bit dehydrated. So we want to make sure that we're fully hydrated as we move into the future with Lebanon First Baptist Church. So I want to get into a little bit of scripture with you this morning. But before I do that, I tried to round up some reasons why we go into a drought. Why does the water or life or energy seem to be sucked out of us so often? And none of them need an explanation. I just kind of sat down and started writing these things down. And there's more than what I wrote down, but they're pretty simple. And so these are things that I think bring drought upon us individually and as a church. It could happen at work, at school, wherever you're at. But here we go. Number one is pride. Number two is love of money. Number three is a lack of Bible reading, a lack of prayer. Number four, a lack of building relationships and friendships, which is what's happening and taking place at the Cedars and hopefully here as well, wherever we go outside this place. There's a lack of physical fitness where we just are going to sit around and be lazy. Now, right? Depending on where you are in life, that can be limiting. But many of us can get a little bit lazy there. Neglect of responsibilities, right? Providing for your family, going out and working, or, now what we do is we like to blame everyone for our own mistakes, don't we? Or we like to blame someone, to give someone else the credit other than ourselves. That's just the way we are here in the United States today. So we have that going on, the responsibility thing. How about living in legalism? It has to be this way. You have to do it this way. Or it always has to be their way. There's no room for any movement at all. That was the Pharisees. That was the Sadducees in our scripture. Lack of Christian community and fellowship, right? We're supposed to, we're the body of believers, we're word-driven, we're knowing God, we're going to make Him known, and so we need to get together. We need to love each other and have fun together and learn the Word together, all those sorts of things, lack of Christian community and fellowship. Then we have the lack of unity and trust, you know, so sometimes we don't trust each other, we feel we can't say, we're in such a feeling generation or whatever you want to call it, where everybody's feelings get hurt all the time. You know, I don't like the color of your tie, and I'll go home and cry and, you know, go get on some meds or something. I don't know. But we have this problem with our feelings instead of just being honest with each other. You put all these things together, and, of course, there's other factors. One starts to dehydrate. In fact, one starts to tune out, and life seems sucked out of us. And so what happens when that takes place? Well, all you got to do is look at the news. That's just fun to watch now. It's almost comical because there's bickering, there's arguing, there's fussing, there's fighting, there's gossip, there's no trust, there's a lack of integrity and character, all sorts of stuff going on simply because I feel people are spiritually dehydrated. There's a lack. Now, how about for us in church? Then what happens is there's a lack of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in and through us, which is supposed to be happening. And what Jesus does when He lives within us then is He brings us that abundant life. And the abundant life says, no, it's not about pride, Dave. It's about seeking first My kingdom and My righteousness. All that other stuff, it's added unto you. And so when we dehydrate, we get in a flipped out mode. So if you've been dehydrated before, you know what the flipped out mode is. We're just bonkers. And we start searching around for any answer and every answer that we can get. Now, if it's thirst, right, you're looking for water. You're constantly looking for water, where to be replenished, refilled, rejuvenized. Once you get that water inside of you, what happens? Trees start to grow, right? You get green and you get these wonderful vegetables. And my favorite, I love big juicy strawberries. That comes from water that is nourishing the ground that's causing those things to grow. It's a spiritual thing as well. We're going to see that in John chapter 4 if you want to turn to that particular story with me, John chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And this is a very famous story about the Samaritan woman at the well. All of you, I think, know this, or many of you know this, but more often than not, when we talk about this particular passage, this woman at the well, We talk about the woman a whole lot, and that she was a Samaritan and Jesus was a Jew and they didn't get along, and how can Jesus ask her for water and all this sort of stuff, which is all good stuff and it's all true. But I want to focus at what Jesus says and just simply look at a few of his words. And we're going to focus on verses 13 and 14 from chapter 4. But for those of you that don't know the story, I'm just going to read a little piece of it starting in verse 1. It says, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Okay, so let's jump down to verse 4. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he's on his way traveling, and he came to a town in Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So this is where he meets this Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman comes to draw water. Jesus said to her, and obviously Jesus is thirsty, he says, will you give me a drink? And then the Samaritan woman said to him, well, you're a Jew, and we all know that, and I'm a Samaritan. How come you're asking me for a drink? And Jesus says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You see how that switched there? Now I want to go to verses 13 and 14. And I think we have that on the screen. What I want to do here is I want us to read that together. So here we go. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well water springing up to eternal life. Oh, this is good stuff. This is really neat stuff. So what I want you to do now is go back to the Old Testament. You know how I like to do that, and talk a little bit from there. Jeremiah 2:3, God is talking here. And first of all, you know, when you read that, what Jesus is saying there, don't you want some of that living water? I want it all the time, right? I think that can really change our lives. It could really change the country and change the church. So Jeremiah 2:13, remember, this is before Jesus was ever born. God is talking here, and he says this, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So these people have decided not to follow God. They keep digging because they want water, but they can't find the water because who is the water? What did it just say there? God is the spring of living water. He's the spring of living water, which Jesus tells us leads to, we just read it, to eternal life. Jot down Jeremiah 17:13. Says this, Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust. In other words, you're going to be in a dusty and dry place. There's going to be no water. Because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. So what are we learning about God? He is what? The spring of living water, isn't he? Matthew 10:42, it says, giving a cup of cold water to one of Jesus' disciples is a good thing. Now that sounds physical, but I think it's also spiritual because we're talking about giving to one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew 14, Peter walked to Jesus on what? What do you think? Water. Again, another spiritual story. Revelation 7:17 tells us that the Lamb, who is Jesus, is at the center of the throne and will be our shepherd, and he, Jesus, will lead us to springs of living water. If you jump back to verse 16 in that chapter, it says, those that drink of that water are never going to thirst again. Said the same thing to the woman at the well, right? 2 Peter 2 talks about those of us who have messed up in life, who do not follow God, who teach the wrong things, and tells us that these kinds of folks are springs without water. So in other words, it's a dry ravine, right? There's nothing there. It's dust. It's dirt. There's no rehydration. In fact, it tells us that we're driven by darkness. However, here's the best thing. Revelation 22:17 says, to those who want to follow God, turn away from that stuff, the dry creek over there. Those who want to follow God, let the one who is thirsty come, And let the one who wishes, God's not going to make us do it, but if you wish it and if you make the decision, you can take the free gift of the water of life. That's pretty awesome. When we study the Word of God together, we find that it is filled with water. Some of it's physical. I think most, if not much of it, is spiritual. I even think the Noah's flood is spiritual water. And why can I say that or equate that? Well, it's because water cleanses us physically. The water of the Holy Spirit, the water of Jesus Christ, cleanses us spiritually. And then water also rehydrates us. And Jesus says, what about rehydration? Boy, if you drink from his well, it goes all the way up to heaven. You'll never thirst again. There's a thirst for something going on here in the United States, I think. You know, again, look at the news. You got Syria, you got ISIS, you got the Middle East, you got so many problems. You've got all sorts of things going on. There's physical thirst. There's people without food. There's war, politics, you name it, we've got it. Some of that stuff happens in the church. And while many may think that that's all physical stuff, we're dealing with physical stuff, in reality, we are searching for something that's bigger than we are. I think everybody on this planet has that feeling, and they search for something that's bigger than they are. And that something is, of course, a person by the name of Jesus Christ, and he is the living water. He provides that for everyone who says yes to him. So let me ask you this morning as we get set to leave. How is your faith today? Where are you? Are you in a drought? You know, do you need to be rehydrated? Are you dehydrated? Are you thirsty? So when I was thinking about this, for what it's worth, I think if together as a community, I mean community as in individually and then but as a community, as a church, as a body of believers, not the building, right? Because the church, that's people filled with the Holy Spirit. If we continually drank from the spring of water that wells up to eternal life, if we all do that together each and every day as best we can, right here, right now, in this church, over at the Cedars, I think even through the community, we burst a bubble. We start going nuts. We start going haywire. And that doesn't mean people in the pews where this place is filled up. Hey, if God does that, that's wonderful. It means salvation coming to other people because they're discovering, they're tasting, they're drinking that water that wells up to eternal life. They're finding that relationship with Jesus. I think needs would be met around our community, even more so around here and then around the world. We'd produce fruit. People would come to know Jesus. And then, right, where we're driven. We've known God. We're making him known. Now, I'm thirsty. I'm ready to go. I'm plugged in. I'm set. Staff is set. We're all ready to run. On your way out today, I want you to run too. Now, you don't have to physically run out of here. But before you do, I want to make sure that you're hydrated well, right? So we got these water bottles up here. I want you to take one of these water bottles as a reminder on your way out. Drink it throughout the day. Let it remind you that physically it is taking care of you, but that's all it's doing for you because there's a greater water source, and that's Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit as he works through you. And the way you drink that water is you get into his word. You love one another. You share with people. You care for one another. It's that well that springs up to eternal life. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person that's here today. I thank you for their lives, their families, their friendships, and everything that they've got going on. And Lord, I know every day can be a struggle for many of us, and for some days it's great joy, whatever. But we know that we need to drink from your well all the time, every day. Man, it just makes us feel so much better in the spirit. You know, like in Sunday school class, we can get up and we can say, well, thank you, Lord. It's Monday. Great opportunities to share my faith with others and to love others in a special way. So we thank you for being that well, that well that springs up to eternal life. We pray that as a church, we will go out and share that message with others. And Heavenly Father, would you touch the hearts of those that may not believe in you today, that they will say yes, take that first drink, and find out that they would never be thirsty again. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray.